stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome into Grinding the Edge, episode number 62 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not gone and checked it out, you need to go to the South Harmon website and check out the Warp Tool. It is the one place that you can get all sorts of amazing, tailored to your league data about what positions are the positions that you want to invest in, what players had the greatest impact in previous seasons, and all the things that you need to know specifically for your league and its settings. Just go to warp.life, that is warp.life, in order to go get it and check it out. A couple weeks ago, I put out a call for if anybody was doing any auction dynasty startups. And I got two responses that I accepted. One of them is going to be a live draft style in mid-July, so I won't talk about that one until then. But this first one is one that just kicked off this past weekend. And I want to go through how it is that I have developed my process for it, and how that has ended up working out so far. I'm fine with doing it now because by the time this episode comes out on Saturday, I will probably be past the point where it really at any point that it's not going to matter. Nobody's going to be able to go through and be like, oh, this is what Koopa's got for his values and reverse engineer it to any usefulness by that point. So with that, let me go through how I decided to do it this time. If you compare this to how I did my auction startup strategy all the way back in episode 3, well, that one is going to be different. I'm still playing around with how I'm doing my auction startup strategies, and it probably will change draft to draft, just because my strategy is very analytical. And because I'm going very analytical with it, I need to make sure it at least varies some amount, so that way nobody is just directly copying my strategy, or at least knowing what my high bids are on every single player. So the way I decided to do my auction strategy this time around was to do it warp-infused. One thing that I've noticed in the past with how I was doing my warp-infused auction values is that I always ended up with these really, really low values for the quarterback, where if you go back to episode 3, it was like I had $150 for all my quarterbacks, which isn't really even enough to get one quarterback. And so I wanted to do something different that gave me a little bit more flexibility in order to be able to actually get some better quarterbacks for my team. So the way I did it was I looked at the total warp for every single position compared to your entire roster, and then compared that to, okay, this is how much money I should spend at each position. So if you want to follow along with me as I go through this, you can pull up the Warp Tool, put in my name, Koopa Troopa 8, and it is the league called May the Best Ball Be With You. What this league has is it's a best ball start 11, like it seems pretty standard, but the quarterback scoring is quite heavy. If you look at the warp, it's like, okay, there's a ton of quarterbacks. And that's kind of what spurred this whole, okay, I need to find a way to allocate more money towards the quarterback position. So the way I did this was I added up all of the warp for every single player that would make it onto my roster based on the multi-year roster construction. I went through, and so multi-year roster construction for quarterback is 4.42. I rounded that to 4, and what I did was I took quarterback 6, quarterback 18, 30, and 42. Running right down the middle, and said, okay, let me add all of these warp values together. And that came out to 4.19. Then I did the same thing with running backs. It's 7.83. So I took the top seven running backs, added those together, 4.272. Wide receivers, it's 11.75. So for 11 of the wide receivers, so starting with 6 again, so like 6, 18, 30, 42, all the way until I got 11 of them, I think it came out to like 110 or something is where the final one was. And I came up with 6.194 warp from the wide receivers. And for the tight ends, I did the same thing. It was 6 tight ends. I took all of those warp values, added them together. I got a total of 17.6 warp, which makes a lot of sense. If you think about, hey, how much warp do you need in order to win an entire season? 17 games sounds about right. So, yeah, that number, A, made a lot of sense to me, and then B, that gives me my total value. So now I can take the quarterback value, and it was 4.42 out of that 17.6. In this case, that was 23.8%, which gives me a budget of $238 for quarterbacks. I did the same thing with running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. So quarterback was $238, running back was $243, wide receiver $352, and tight end $168. So that gives me budgets for each position. But the next thing that I need to do is figure out how that's actually going to translate into bids. Obviously, I could spend $238 and get myself one of the top tier quarterbacks, but then I'd have no money left over. So I need to have some strategy for how I'm not going to just blow all my money super early. The way I decided to do that was to go ahead and just say, I'm never spending more than 50% all the way down. So for the quarterback, where I'm trying to get 4 quarterbacks, that would equate to having a bid of a high of 119, 60, 30, and 29. By doing those 4 bids, I would know that I am always going to be able to stick within my quarterback realm in terms of the total budget that I have, and I'm going to get the best that I can with those values and still have some decent players to show for it. Same thing with the running backs. The total is $243, so my initial bids are 122, 61, 30, 15, 8, 4, and 3. So just going down, that's what it looks like. Wide receiver, similar thing, 176, 88, 44, 22, 11, etc., all the way down until I get to $1 bids. And at tight end, 84, 42, 21. And continuing on. So the reason for doing it this way is because I know my tendency is to always try and get a bunch of those high value players, and then I end up missing out on the opportunity to get players at a discount. I miss out on the ability to say, hey, this guy, he's a top tier player, but he's just going for well below everyone else. And so by giving myself a maximum value that's 50%, I know that I'm probably preventing myself from getting the absolute top tier. I know that I'm probably preventing myself from being able to get your Jefferson, Chase, Neighbors, your Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, all of those guys, but I'm hoping I'm going to be able to make that up by being more disciplined than everyone else in the auction. By being able to have the money in order to come in and get a lot of your not quite top tier players, but then also still spending for those guys. Finding a way to fit into that sweet spot is something that's really, really difficult, and something that I've been able to tell from auctions that if you understand how to do that properly, then you're going to win a lot of the time. You're going to come out with a team that everyone's like, how did we let that team get created? So that's what I'm trying to aim for. But I know with myself, I am somebody that I need I need some guidelines. And so these are the guidelines that I've created for myself. So how has this actually translated to the auction itself? Well, currently we are at day 5 or 6 of this auction, and I've gotten myself 8 players, and I am currently the high bidder on 1. The players that I've gotten fit a lot into that realm that I was aiming for. So I've gotten myself Drake London and Nico Collins, Colston Loveland, Saquon Barkley, Quinshon Judkins, Kyle Pitts, Jonathan Taylor, Baker Mayfield. And so if you look at that list of players, it's like, yeah, none of them are the absolute gonna knock your socks off, be undisputed top player in the league. But I'm aiming for a lot of these guys being your solid players. The ones that you want to have on your team of like, yeah, they're going to fill a solid role. And part of this is because it's best ball. In a best ball league, you need to have a lot of depth. And I like to play best ball where I just have a lot of players who fit into my team. And I ideally want to be able to continue to supplement this with a lot of the other players who don't make a lot of sense being in your lineup, say if this was a lineup league, but would be the top guys on your bench. And that's what I'm saving a lot of the rest of my budget for. So I'm still sitting here with $229 of my draft capital still remaining. And I'm going to continue to be looking for how I am actually using this money and who I'm using it on. The way I've been doing it up until now is by keeping essentially meticulous notes. So the number one thing that you cannot do in an auction is just not pay attention to what has happened and what is happening to the board. So when I mentioned all those numbers for what I was willing to do with bids at the beginning, the way I did that was I applied them to a Dynasty ranking sheet. So I actually took a copy of the South Harmon Dynasty ranking sheet, and I made some new columns between every single position of this is my value for all these players. And next to like quarterback 6, running back 6, wide receiver 6, tight end 6, I put in 119 for that first quarterback. I put in 122 for that running back. I put in 176 for the wide receiver. And I put in 84 for the tight end. And then I extrapolated that out for every other position or every other rank. So that way it was just a linear drop between each one. So in the case of, say, the tight ends, the way it ended up working was that the tight end, it's the first 5 or 84, then the 6 was 84, and then it went to 80.8, 77.7, 74.5, 71.3, 68.2, 65, 61.8, 58.7, 55.5, 52.3, 49.2, 46.0, and 44. So just going all the way down to get from that 84 number all the way down to, hey, the next one was that 42. And so by doing that, what that allowed me to do was being able to say, hey, I know the value for any player that is in between here. So in the case of this auction, it ended up being that one of the first tight ends to go up was Colston Loveland. But if, say, Tyler Warren had gone up, because Tyler Warren did go up at the beginning. Well, my budget for Colston Loveland was 84. But because Tyler Warren was further down on the ranks, then Tyler Warren went down to 75. And I had that number already loaded. So when Tyler Warren, he went up on the board first, I can slap a $75 bid on him and know that I'm just fine with it. And then if I had lost that and Colston Loveland's on the board, okay, now I can put up the 84. But specifically, I'm trying to just do one in each tier. And then once I won Colston Loveland and those 80, I won him for the $80, I then took those four extra dollars from my budget and pushed them down the stack. So all of a sudden, my 42, it became a 46. And then when Kyle Pitts went on the board, even though by my numbers he was 68.2, I went, my budget for my second tight end is only 46. I'm only putting on a $46 bid for these tight ends. And I continued to do that repeatedly until I got, I ended up getting Kyle Pitts for $42. So those remaining $4 between that budget and the amount that I'm doing, that got pushed down to now my third number, which was 21, is now a 25. And so I'm just going to continue to do that all the way down the tight ends as they continue to get nominated. So anybody that's listening to this in this auction probably knows, hey, Coop has got a $25 maximum on whatever tight ends he's in on. But also, the nice thing about it is, even if they know that I've got a $25 maximum right now, that those $25 are, they can bid me right up to it, but I'm also fine with spending the $25, is what I've budgeted for. I'm not throwing it off the hip and going, oh man, I might regret that later. The one thing that this entire strategy has done that has not worked out very well for me is the fact that by doing this strategy where I have a value for each position, I have not been able to take advantage of the differences between the positions when it comes to flexing. So if I could redo this again, I would be looking at those running back, wide receiver, and tight ends and being able to flex some of that money around. By being so rigid with the strategy, and I'm going to be rigid through the rest of this draft just because I kind of started down it. I kind of want to see how it finishes turning out. But by taking some of the money, say, from the wide receiver section, where I have yet to get myself a third wide receiver, and pushing it towards the tight ends, I might have been able to get myself TJ Hockenson or George Kittle, two tight ends that I'm really in on. But because of when they ended up going up in the auction, they ended up going for $59 and $61 respectively. Now, I have both of them ranked higher than I do Colston Loveland, and they went for $20 cheaper. I would have much rather either bid on those guys in order to make the managers that ended up getting them have to pay a little bit more, kind of to protect my investment in Colston Loveland a little bit, or just won them outright myself, and then they could be filling flex spots for me. So that is the one thing with this strategy. It's kind of been not filling in right. And then the other thing is the quarterbacks. I mentioned that the quarterback warp, it is very heavily weighted. And I think there was some amount of that where there was way too much spent. I love you, Eric. I know that I love your content and everything, but $300 for Josh Allen and $290 for Jaden Daniels is, in my opinion, way too much. And so I think that you overpaid for those two. And then in somewhat the same way that I was mentioning, hey, I wish I could have come in on the tight ends, he came in on Lamar Jackson as well, kind of to protect his investment, and spent $233 there as well. The one that I think is more reasonable is the Jalen Hurts for $224. Like, okay, you're starting to get down into the right range. But in terms of the warp value to your team, now this is not including dynasty value or anything, just the warp value, I can't justify anything higher than $190. I've done a few different calculations in terms of different methods to come up with, hey, how much warp should a top tier quarterback be in terms of total percentage? And the max is 190. And with that being the max, like, okay, yeah, quarterback, it's going to be the longest lasting position. So maybe you can justify a little bit into the low 200s because you're getting a lot of that dynasty value. You know you're going to get them, like, realistically, probably for a decade plus. If you're talking like Jaden Daniels and even Jalen Hurts. And so those kinds of things make it where I'm like, okay, the 224 for Jalen Hurts, 233 for Lamar, those make a little bit more sense. But then even the rest of the quarterbacks. So I said I had that $119 maximum. That meant that I had to go all the way down to QB 16 of Baker Mayfield. And now that my budget tops out at 60, currently I am in on Matt Stafford. Like, he's the top one that I'm in on. And my numbers, even after shifting that 119 maximum down a ton, because, like, every time a player would come off, like I said originally, okay, that 119 applies to quarterback 6, and then the 60 applies to quarterback 18. Well, that's just not how it worked out. So that 119 applied to quarterback 16, which means that 60 applies to quarterback 28. And that 60 right now is getting me in on quarterback 29. And it's just not really how I want to be spending my money in this. I want to have better quarterbacks than this. And it's just kind of forcing me into, okay, I'm just playing this trash quarterback game. And part of the reason that I'm even playing in this game is because, like, I ended up really early on with Saquon Barkley. If I'm getting Saquon Barkley for 119, which comes in under my 122 threshold, then, okay, well, I need to kind of go in for a little bit of a win now scenario. Same thing when I ended up with Jonathan Taylor for 77. Like, having those two guys, like, okay, I'm not going to get the value back compared to what I spent here in this auction unless they have really good seasons. So I might as well try to compete a little bit. So I need to actually get some quarterbacks who are going to play as opposed to investing in these a little bit of projects and things like that. So I'm trying to see if I can get Matt Stafford here. He's the one player that I'm currently the high bidder on. And if I end up with Stafford, great. If I don't, I guess I'm down to the next one. That's maybe Sam Darnold. It might end up even going all the way down to Russell Wilson or Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers. Like, I might be spending up to $60 on those guys. And them being my quarterback too is just not really inspiring. And the fact that I'm having to spend that much, knowing that my third and fourth quarterbacks need to be 30 and 29, definitely not promising that I'm going to end up with four quarterbacks, which is ideally what I'd want in a best ball league anyway. So that is the one thing that I would change, is to try and find a way to be more flexible. So I've gone through and created all these budgets, created this is the value for everyone. But I think what I should have done is, instead of being rigid on, okay, I have this value for quarterbacks, it's $238. Well, I don't need to invest in exactly $238 in the quarterbacks. Same with investing exactly $243 in the running backs and $352 in the wide receivers. I just need to know what the values of those players are relative to each other. And then I'm able to flex the money across where I need it. Knowing where the values of the quarterbacks fall in to the other positions, if I had lost out on Baker Mayfield, what I was about to do was say, screw it. I'm not going to get a single starting quarterback. Or maybe my starting quarterbacks will be like Russell Wilson for $45 and Aaron Rodgers for $45. And I'm just going to get every other position. Because when I look at the values for some past South Harmon drafts, Like, I've seen values where, okay, Bo Nix would, a player like him, or let's take Justin Herbert, because he was around last year. Justin Herbert would go for 210. And Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, they'd go for 180. Well, what's the point? Why would you go for Justin Herbert when you can get one of those top wide receivers, and then 3 weeks after the draft, just trade him for the quarterback plus? You'd get more value simply by getting the top tier wide receivers. And so I was seeing a little bit of that happen across this board as well. So Amon-Ra St. Brown went for 143. If you go around and you're like, okay, what can I get for Amon-Ra St. Brown? Well, who would you rather have? Amon-Ra or Kyler Murray? Amon-Ra or Caleb Williams? Amon-Ra, Patrick Mahomes? Amon-Ra, Justin Herbert? Like, Amon-Ra went for less than every single one of those guys. Sometimes only a dollar or two less, but less than every single one of them. And for every single one of those guys, I would rather have Amon-Ra, except for maybe Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, I might be like, okay, you know what? I would rather have him specifically. But everyone else, I'd rather have an Amon-Ra over them. And then I'm just going to play a little bit less in the quarterback waters, have a worse quarterback. And then what I'm doing there is I'm saving money. I'm getting the better player, and then I just have to go back and get a lesser quarterback somewhere else. So those are kinds of the waters that I kind of wish I could have played in a little bit more. But some of it is how I ended up getting locked into guys. The one thing that really killed this strategy, this is something that I definitely need to tweak it for the future, is that I got locked into some other players a little too early because of how I played it. So in this case, I went in on Nico Collins. When I started, he had a budget of 154, and so I went and I slapped that 154 on Nico Collins. He ended up going for 133, and I was like, great, that 133, let me add that to that 88 that I had for that wide receiver too. So I added that extra budget. That brought me up to, I had a budget of 138. And that 138, I ended up going, I got Drake London first, 126. That budget went to 138. That went on to Nico Collins. And so I got Nico Collins and Drake London. And I had spent a total of $259 on the wide receivers. And I was like, great, I am right on track. I have wide receiver one, wide receiver two, and they're two great guys that I love. And then Amon-Ra and Puka Nacua are on the board, and they're sitting there at 143. And for 10 extra bucks, I'd absolutely love to have those guys over the Nico Collins and Drake London. But because of how I played the board, I was already stuck. I already have my two guys. I'm out on the Amon-Ra and Puka Nacua. And so it was that kind of thing of locking myself in. I locked myself in so early. The same thing happened with Colson Loveland. I locked myself into the $80 of Colson Loveland. And then TJ Hockenson and George Kittle came on the board 2 days later, and they go for 60 each. It's something where every auction is different. And this kind of strategy, it got foiled by players not coming off in order of how they're ranked. If they'd come off in order of how they've ranked, I probably would have been able to clean up. But because they didn't, that was something that kind of foiled this whole strategy for me. And so, yeah, I'm going to be in a decent place, but I'm not going to be in as good of a place as I ultimately wanted to be. And so that's something that if you're going to do this kind of strategy, you can go through, make this same strategy, listen to the beginning of how I added up those warp values, created the total budgets. But ultimately, you need to be able to read the room a little bit of, okay, how is everyone playing? And what I thought was going to happen off this room was that we were going to have a little bit of lull at the beginning, really overspend in the middle, and then run out of money at the end. And what has ended up happening in this draft is we underspent a little bit at the beginning, which is how I got a lot of these players, and then we underspent even more. We're sitting here at day five of the auction, and there's a couple people in the league that barely have any players, have barely spent anything. There's one guy that, in between this morning and now, has finally gotten himself two players that were more than $44 each. Like, he'd literally, like, 3 days into the auction, spent nothing. Not won a single player. And all he's done now is won Tyler Shaw, Brandon Ayuk, Bryce Young, and Jackson Dart. And we have somebody else who was only a couple days ago sitting at that maximum value as well. And now he's at least gone through, he's bid on a bunch of players, he's knocked it down. But it's those sorts of things where, okay, there was this lull, like day three, where like nobody, the people that had stayed out weren't coming in. And I was not in a position to take advantage of that. And that's one of the hardest ones to be able to go in and predict. And my strategy of not being able to be flexible, where, okay, I could have pooled the money from what I had left over from running back, wide receiver, and tight end, and gone in and got myself the TJ Hockenson and George Kittle, or got myself some of these wide receivers that went for way less than they should have, like AJ Brown and T. Higgins. And I would have been able to get these guys onto my team. But because of the limits that I'd already put on the value for each position, I wasn't able to get any of them. And so that's the biggest thing that is a takeaway for me is, okay, I can go into it with the value of what every player is worth, but I need to be more flexible in terms of how the money can be flexed between different positions. In the past, the only time I've had money that can be flexed is in a lineup league where, hey, this is the bench money. Like the total number of money for each bench slot would be a certain amount. And I said, oh, that's my flex slush fund. Well, I need to find a different way of coming up with that, because in a best ball league, your bench counts as the positions that you need. You don't get droppable players in best ball. And so I need to come up with some way to be able to do that. And I think the way is going to be almost flexing the entire budget and saying, okay, I need some minimum amount for every position, and having a target for, I need this many of this position above this threshold, and it being something really low. Hey, I need two quarterbacks who are starting the season. I need three wide receivers who are better than wide receiver 60. Things like that. But having that sort of thing and then being able to flex between any position. And that's probably how I need to play it this next time around. And not stick to, hey, these are the positional values. I can use those to set the value for each player in that position. But I just can't do that long term for how I'm going to actually spend the money in the draft. It leaves me too inflexible to take advantage when I need to. So that's my biggest auction takeaways and how I prepped for this auction draft. This one is a slow one as well, so keep that in mind as well. If this was with 24 players on the clock at any given time, it takes 12 hours to get anyone off the board anytime they get reset. So there's plenty of time for people to jump and chime in. The next auction that I'm going to do in July is going to be a live auction. And so that's going to be a totally different strategy when it comes to how I'm also managing these bids. With this auction, I'm putting in the max values. So like when Colson Loveland, when he went on the board, I just slapped down an $84 bid and walked away. I either got it or I didn't. When you're on a live auction, if you put down an $84 bid, well, he's yours for $84 exactly. You don't get a discount. And the same thing goes for like when I was bidding on that Drake London. I put $150 on Drake London. He went for $126. You don't get those kinds of discounts as easily in a live auction because you have to put it down in couple dollar increments. So just something to look at in terms of how you're doing it. If you're doing a slow auction, you can be more methodical in saying this is my max and just immediately put that max. Because then you know that, hey, if you lose the player, you just aren't getting them. But just make sure that you keep a track of what that max is. So that way you're being flexible enough and that way you aren't overspending early. Because the worst thing you can do is spend all of your money at the very beginning of the draft and then all of a sudden you no longer have any money left for all these juicy discounts when you get into the next couple days of the draft. So that's everything that I have for you this week. If you want to go check out the Warp Tool, go to warp.life. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.